From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, still miffed at your big guns missing out in Manchester? Well, this week's show should cheer you up as we hear about four extra games being added to this round and, quite possibly, the worst game week score ever. It's the essential primer for the run-in. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello there, listener. Thank you so much for joining us here on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. So much has happened, of course, since our last show. And, of course, there was one big thing that didn't happen. But amongst other things that we'll be talking about today, suddenly we've got a huge Game Week 35 to plan for. Woo! Here to do the big thinking for that, we've got number-crunching stats wizard Duncan Alexander of TheAnalyst.com. Duncan.
Hello, James.
Journalist et broadcaster Julien Laurence.
Hello, James.
Hello, Julien. And the FBL family's Sam Bonfield. All right, Sam.
Hi, James.
Hi, Sam. Still trying to crack that top 50k, eh?
Oh, it's like a yo-yo. I'm in and out, in and out. Got to make it stick one of these days.
I see. We've only got four game weeks left. Jules, 14 points. What happened? 14 points.
I didn't know that was even possible. Me neither, to be fair. I mean, I had 11 for a long time. I was like, why 11? Even my oldest son is older than that.
Who did you captain?
I captained Harry Kane. I had players from Man United and Liverpool, of course. Of course. And I was at Old Trafford, so you can just imagine my face as I was told there was no game when that was the only thing that could save my team. But yeah, a weekend to forget very quickly, please.
Look at his face. So many managers, of course, were hit by the postponement of Man United Liverpool. 2.6 million of us had given the armband to either Salah or Fernandes. We haven't had official confirmation yet of when the game is going to be held. Probably, Sam, is this right? Probably in game week 36. Is that right?
It looks likely now, yeah. Manchester United obviously currently blanking in game week 36 because of the FA Cup final. But there's potential that that game could go into the middle of the week after and Liverpool could play Manchester United then.
More when we know more, as ever. All the latest information at official FPL on Twitter or at the fantasy.premierleague.com website. I know we were all hit by the non-event at Old Trafford. I was saved, though, by a certain Gareth Bale, bailed out. And it was interesting to see Spurs hitting form again there under Ryan Mason with a hat-trick from Bale, who has he now scored four of the six goals since Mourinho left? Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, so he started two games under Ryan Mason in the two games that we've played in the Premier League. He's got four goals, five bonus points in that time. He is, on absolute fire at the minute.
He certainly is. Son looked good as well, to my kind of humble eye. But it was curious that they scored four goals, but Harry Kane wasn't involved in any of them. Sam?
What's fascinating for me is that when you look at Son's expected goals, it's really dried up in the last six game weeks, and that tallies with Kane's expected assists also having massively dried up in the last six game weeks. So I think for me it's a lot to do with their partnership, which just isn't clicking in the same way. Potentially it's end of season, bit tired, and particularly from Son, I think he looks a bit leggy in the last couple of game weeks. But you know, it's Harry Kane at the end of the day. He's on for the golden boot at the end of the season. He'll come good again in these next few games.
Yeah, there's always that week in May where Harry Kane works out how many goals he needs to win the Golden Boot and goes out and probably rearranges the fixture himself to do it. But if you looked early in the season, actually, that was quite a good point about Son, is that he was massively overperforming on all his metrics. He had pretty similar numbers to Timo Werner, who's been obviously massively underperforming. And it is interesting how these things do kind of work out over a season. So yeah, I think probably Son is maybe one to avoid possibly, but also interesting is the fact that Dele Alli is now back in favour, and I think he's a really interesting option for the closing few weeks, because you know, if he gets a proper run in the team now, we know how good it can be from previous seasons, and I think he's a possible differential for people to get in that Spurs team.
That week in May when Harry Kane works out how many goals he needs, is that this week with the game against Leeds coming up, do you think, Duncan?
Yeah, possibly. You know, it's kind of him against his kind of mini-me, Patrick Bamford, in a sense. I think Leeds will, Well, they have been good defensively recently, but they possibly could give up some chances. So, yeah, very well could be this week, yeah.
Does love to play against Leicester too, though. Final day of the season.
Right. Leeds weren't good defensively last weekend, as anyone who's a Stuart Dallas owner will know. He came away with just 1 point, conceding twice and then dropping back into actually the defence, the indignity of it. Patrick Bamford, Harry's mini-me, as you describe him, blanking for the third league match in a row and getting taken off before 60 minutes had passed. Crikey. Jules, let's talk again about your 14-point haul. Beyond the Man United and Liverpool, what else did you get wrong?
You really want to talk about that? You want like to name me and shame me?
I've never seen anyone get 14 points before.
Me neither. I had...
Four of them came from his captain as well, James. Four from the captain. That means the whole of the rest of the team got 10.
I've wasted more points on benches than that. So.
I had a lot of faith. I knew you were going... I should not have accepted this invitation to do this show because I knew you would all like together get at me. I had high faith in Fofana. That I thought, okay, right. You know, he's going to be great. He's been rubbish. Jesse Lingard, because I listened to you all, I brought him in when I knew I shouldn't have. And obviously, as soon as I brought him in, he became rubbish as well, like he used to be. And then no Jota, no Fernandes, no Cavani, no points for them. Bamford, as you said, terrible game, terrible weekend. Martinez in goal, terrible. And Harry Kane, terrible. I mean, I don't even want to talk about last weekend. I don't even know what happened. I can't even remember.
I mean... Right, and it's been a bad week in all, you know, in other football ways, of course, for you as well, George. So probably we should move on. But yeah, I've seen your team, and there's nothing wrong with it, but that's the cruelness of FPL, you know, a team that right up until the deadline looks like it's absolutely going to rocket you up the standings. Instead, turns out to be a 14-point dud. Still, never mind.
Stop
Let's
saying
talk
14.
About...
You've said 14 points like 50 times already. We've been 5 minutes into the show.
I'll move on then. Fixtures for game week 35. Game week 35, the deadline is once again on Friday evening, 6:30 UK time. We've got eight teams who are playing twice. So Aston Villa, who have Man United and Everton both at home. Crystal Palace, who are away to Sheffield United and Saints. A lot of people think they maybe have the best fixtures of all. Everton, who are away to West Ham and Villa. Saints, who are away to Liverpool and then home to Palace. Man United, and then the next four teams are playing twice in this game week, but don't have a fixture in game week 36, although Man United's Liverpool game could pitch up in there. Man United in the double game week have Aston Villa and then Leicester at home. Arsenal have West Brom at home and then Chelsea away. Chelsea have Man City away and then Arsenal at home. And Leicester start off with Newcastle at home and then have Man United away. As I say, Arsenal, Chelsea and Leicester are all definitely blanking the following week. And Man United maybe, depending on when they schedule that Liverpool game. Guys, where are you looking to reap the rich rewards of this double game week? Which players have you particularly highlighted for getting in? Should we take it kind of through the team? So starting at the back, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Luka Ding is a very interesting one because I guess you try to get players who would not blank in the following game week. And as we said, Everton then play Sheffield United. And I think Ding has been in really good form, which I know Everton have been a bit inconsistent this season and at times a bit hit and miss. But if you look at his point returns, 7 points, 6 points, there was a game week with 1 point, but then 6 points before, he's still below the 10% ownership. So in a way, technically still a differential. And I think he could be good for those three games coming. As you said, Everton play Villa, West Ham and Sheffield United, and you can easily say Luka Ding between the clean sheets, potentially bonus points, assists as well, having really good returns over the three games.
Do you think that Seamus Coleman would offer a kind of good budget alternative if you wanted something from Everton's forward-thinking backline?
Yes, you're right. That's a good point. Although I think in the patterns of play and the structure going forward, attacking-wise from Everton, the way they build it up is more towards the left-hand side for Ding. Ding is probably a better crosser of the ball than Seamus Coleman. No offense, Seamus, if you're listening. I just think that in the way they play and they set up and build their attack, it's very often more on that left-hand side than on the right-hand side.
Yeah, I agree with Jules, actually. I mean, I looked at recent form ran some numbers from the start of April. So I think that's, you know, sort of a month's worth of Premier League action. And Luca Dean on expected assists is the most creative player or creative defender in the Premier League in that period, level with Trent Alexander-Arnold. So I think it's a, yeah, it's a good option. Coleman's reasonably high as well, actually. He's above the likes of Andrew Robertson. So yeah, I think both those would be good.
Speaking of people at the back, somebody you were flagging up a couple of weeks ago on the FPL show on the Premier League's website, Sam, is Timothy Castagne. Did you get him in?
I did, yeah. I got him in for his goal the other week, which I must admit, it's absolutely saved my bacon and did propel me into the top 50k for quite a while until, of course, that Liverpool and Manchester United game got called off.
Right, because none of those managers had Liverpool Man United.
I just think that he... I did, had six of them, though,
that's
James.
True.
So six players not playing. Ouch, it just hurts. But I do think Castagne makes a really nice pick for this week. Of course, you have to be a little bit careful because of the game week 36 blank. So you don't want to overfill your teams with Leicester players. But he's really attacking. He's playing in all the right places. So even if the clean sheet doesn't stick, a bit like we were saying with Digne, the attacking potential is definitely there with him. Same with Luke Shaw at Manchester United, who I also think is a really nice pick for this week. Going forward, he has offered so much this season that I think he's another one that you'd want to own for this double game week.
Luke Shaw, who has created the most chances in the Premier League since the start of April of any player in any position. So, yeah.
Really? Okay. Vincent Gaeta, who in the equivalent fixtures of the two that Palace have got this time around, picked up 17 points with two clean sheets, a save point and four bonus points. Now, this time around, they're going to be away in those two games. Sheffield United and Saints are the two matches in question. What do you think? And kind of looking through the rest of the Palace team, is there anyone else you'd pick out?
Gaeta is currently the most transferred in player this game week. I just checked before I came on here to see who it was, and it's currently him. I think a lot of managers looking for somebody that is relatively cheap as a second goalkeeper if they're looking to play their bench boost this week. And also the Palace fixtures look okay beyond game week 35. So he's one of those players that you could hold. I do think that if you want to bring in a player that you think there's clean sheets for, that Crystal Palace look like one of the only sides that have the potential to get two clean sheets this week. Having said that, their defensive record of late hasn't exactly been great. So you could go with somebody like Dan. But I think it's Gaeta for the potential upside of save points more than anyone else.
I'm thinking of bringing in Scott Dan because he's so cheap he would allow me to finance my double swoop elsewhere in the team for Castagne and Calvert-Lewin. This would involve me getting rid of Harry Kane for Calvert-Lewin. That's right.
Oh, shock horror.
Yeah. But we can talk more about transfers later on. Okay, elsewhere, we talked about Seamus Coleman and Luca Dean. What about Sigurdsson in the midfield? He started the last four. He's had more shots than anyone in the team. He's ranking among the top five midfielders in fantasy, and he's on penalties. They've got great fixtures even beyond this double game week. They've got West Ham and Villa and then Sheffield United and Wolves. Everton, what do you think?
I enjoy the way he takes penalties. It's the coolest penalty technique around currently. He doesn't even really look at the ball. He just sort of kind of looks into the mid-distance and has a think about, you know, a cloud or something, and then just rolls it home. So if you think Everton are going to get some penalties, I think that's a pretty profitable route to go down. I just think he's one of those players that if Ancelotti's looking to change things, which he probably is, given their form, Sigurdsson's often the sort of player that makes way. So I wouldn't be too sure he'll feature in every game for the rest of
really?
The season.
Really? Even with that injury to, or whatever the issue was with the James Rodriguez before their last match?
Yeah, but their form, if you look, they've only won one of their last nine home games, and
they're away in these two.
Yeah, I know, but I think they're going to look back at this season as a real kind of missed opportunity, just a little bit more consistency this year, and they would have, you know, almost been a shoo-in for the top four. So I think Ancelotti's probably under a little bit more pressure than it looks, and also he'll be putting that pressure on himself to end the season well. So I think that Everton have got the potential to be quite a chopped and changed lineup for the rest of the season.
Okay, all right. Who do you like the look of in midfield then from the double game week teams? What about James Ward-Prowse, 5.8 million? He's sixth in points for midfielders. He's probably on penalties as well with Ings being out. And last time they had a double game week, or in game week 27, which was a double, he got 18 points. That was against Sheffield United and Man City. And Saints fixtures are good. As I mentioned, well, away to Liverpool, but they did beat them in the return fixture. Then they're at home to Palace. And then after that, they've got Fulham and Leeds United. It's tempting, isn't it? It's, you know, unless you've ever had James Ward-Prowse in the past, and then it's probably not so tempting. Jules, are you tempted?
I think you're right. It is tempting. I had him in the past, and then you're quite happy for a couple of weeks, and then he goes back to being a defensive midfielder and doesn't give you too much if they don't have penalties or free kicks, where he's obviously very good at it. I looked at James Maddison as well because he's obviously come back from injury, and I know Leicester will blank the following weekend, but he played the whole 90 minutes against Southampton. He played 69 minutes, I think, against Palace the weekend before, and now he's got two strikers ahead of him, which before he used to only have Jamie Vardy, and in a way there was a plan A and a plan A for Leicester. Now that Iheanacho has come to so much form, they're playing a very different way, and I think for Maddison as a number 10, suddenly you have far more options. Before, maybe he will score a bit less than he used to before his injury, but certainly in terms of assist, he can be good. And again, he's still under the 10% ownership, so technically, again, a differential.
He's also got a really good record against Newcastle. He's scored in his last three games against them. So I don't know, those things are a bit random, but you know, certain players do have favourite teams. I also think there's a little bit of a dynamic people should remember for the rest of the season, and Madison's a really good example, which is the Euros. You know, there's the squads have been expanded, so Maddison might have been thinking, well, I'm not going to get in. Now, with a 26-man squad, he possibly could. So, you know, players, even if their teams are mid-table, which obviously Leicester aren't, but, you know, don't have much to play for, I think you're going to see some players really, you know, trying to pull all the stops out to try and impress their national team manager.
I must say, I really fancy Wilf Zaha for this game week. Pretty out there to kind of call out a Palace forward-thinking player, given their form of late. However, Zaha is exactly the sort of player that comes into form towards the end of the season. Transfer windows are a prime moment for Zaha to kind of put himself out there as somebody that wants a move. I think he's not made any kind of qualms about the fact he would like a move away from Crystal Palace. Now, whether he gets that or not is potentially down to how he finishes the season. And over the next few game weeks, Crystal Palace have the fixtures for him to really excel. So going into this week, I think he's coming up against two sides who are particularly vulnerable from the wing positions. And that's exactly where you're going to find Zaha. So I think he's got potential this week to be a really, really nice differential, and one that you can hold and you can continue to play for game weeks after. Because like Duncan was saying before about, you know, players that have a team that they like playing against, Zaha does have a really good record against Arsenal, who he plays in a couple of game weeks' time. So having him for the double and then having the ability to play him again in game week 37 feels like quite a nice option.
I hear what you're saying, Sam. Anyone else tempted? Anyone else tempted by a move for Wilf Zaha?
You know it makes sense, guys. Come on.
It does make sense, but to press the button to confirm it would be a tough press. But, you know.
You know, there's that end of the season flip-flop already on the beach. Now that we it looks like we'll be able to travel and go to the Seychelles all together on holidays with Wilf Zaha, you think like, well, you know, I'm not so sure.
It was a hard sell, that one, James.
It is. We'll come back to Wilf Zaha. Don't give up on it, Sam. I reckon that there are already cracks appearing in their mental defences. What about up front? Who's got a top pick for me for up front? I've already got Ollie Watkins, but if I didn't, he'd be a great shout, wouldn't he?
Well, there's this kind of rotating form triangle of doom, isn't there? Yeah. Where you've got Watkins, Bamford and Calvert-Lewin, where I think everyone's probably had those players in their team this season, and it's about timing it well. So, you know, each of them comes in and out of form. And yeah, at the moment, Watkins looks like the man who is in form. So if you've got him, keep him.
Got to say, if you rotate a triangle, essentially it's a rotating circle. You understand it with a circle, no? The points describe.
Well, it depends how fast you're turning it, surely.
No, any movement, the points, the three apices, the apexes of the triangle will describe a circle.
Even
but
if it's
we'll
a scalene triangle. But we're probably getting two.
Well, that depends whether
we've descended into madness today.
Sorry, Jules. Who are you coming into? Who are you coming into game week 35 with? Up front.
So obviously outside the Watkins and the Calvert-Lewin, who have really high ownership as well, and Iheanacho, who's been fantastic. I think there's something very interesting into the Edinson Cavani sort of conundrum, in the sense that he's so good, but you just don't know when he will play in the Premier League, if he does play. I mean, he would have been on the bench on Sunday. He was on the bench the previous weekend as well, because he starts in the Europa League. But then you've got Mason Greenwood, on the other hand, who is also potentially a very interesting player. But again, you're not sure who will start when, which is a problem, although I've got Cavani in the team. I think there's something about Timo Werner, though, that could be very interesting. If you're ready for a gamble, and let's say if you want to catch up on people above you, and you need someone that no one has, because there will be a moment where it will click. And I know we've said that all season, and yet we're still waiting for it to click. But maybe that goal at West Ham, I think he's improved his form and he's creating chances, and there will be a point where he scores. So he's got low ownership. I know it's a big gamble, but it might just be worth taking for the next few weeks of the season.
It's thinking like that, they got you 14 points.
Exactly. Exactly.
One thing I will say, though, James, is that in all of these conversations, we shouldn't forget about the single game weekers.
Right.
Because there will be some single game weekers out there
who haven't forgotten.
Actually outperform the double game week options.
Okay.
And, you know, you take a look at Harry Kane, for example, who just talks about leaving your team.
Yes.
Well, he plays a Leeds side who, in the reverse of this fixture, he got 12 points, a goal and an assist, all three bonus points. Coming up against a Leeds side who have... they've not been their best in the last few weeks. They tried to be more defensively solid. That's affected them going forwards. We've not seen kind of the clean sheets sticking, though, of late. They've been losing, conceding goals here and there. So I do think with the way that Spurs are now playing under Ryan Mason, with a bit more freedom, playing the likes of Bale, who's become a bit of a flat track bully of late, that we could see players like Kane score just as many points as we do from players like Dominic Calvert-Lewin or Ollie Watkins.
The Leeds players are on the plane with us to the Seychelles, aren't they, already, to be fair?
So. We're going to have fun. Yeah. Sam, is Harry Kane fit, though, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would be more concerned about Son needing a bit of time off of late than I would be about Harry Kane. Harry Kane, I still think, you know, looks like a really nice option for the close of the season. So just because they have single game weeks, much like Mo Salah,
right,
who currently just has a single game week against Southampton, but it's a really nice single game week. So don't overlook these players in favour of going all out for doubles, because sometimes a single game week is at the right picks.
Yeah, and the other one is probably riskier than Kane, but is Sergio Aguero, who obviously scores. Mm. And Pep has even come out and said, look, we want to enjoy him for the last few weeks we've got him. And I mean, I was on a few weeks ago and said, I just feel that he's going to get a 3 or 4 goal game at some point for the end of the season.
But they're playing Chelsea this weekend.
He got a hat trick against them, didn't he, a few years back?
Yeah, but not with Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea.
No one that scores against Tuchel's Chelsea.
How much rotation will we get from Chelsea, though, ahead of the FA Cup's final? And of course, they've got the second leg of the Champions League on Wednesday evening. Mm. So there may be some big rotation from Chelsea across this double game week in terms of making sure that they're ready and firing for the FA Cup final as well. So that maybe does leave Aguero with some space and some opportunity, particularly if they're still without Rudiger.
I hear what you're saying about Aguero, and particularly when Pep made those comments about we're going to enjoy these last games with him. I think a lot of FPL managers thought that they might like to join that particular party, but against Chelsea, I'm not sure. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, in your triangle stroke circle geometric shape of your preference of doom, is where I'm seriously considering getting him in. He looked good, I thought, last weekend.
He scored again, yeah.
Yeah. And he's got good fixtures with Everton. And that's why I'm thinking of getting rid of Harry Kane, because I've got Watkins and Iheanacho up top, and I'm not getting rid of either of those two. Kane's only got one fixture, so I've been in this week, bring him back in the next for Calvert-Lewin. Stop me before I do it again.
The problem I have with Calvert-Lewin is he never looks quite right to me without James Rodriguez. I think when James Rodriguez is there, it makes Dominic Calvert-Lewin a far better option, because he gets the passes and the quality of crosses going into him. And he always just looks a little bit lacking without him there. So the James Rodriguez injury puts me off a little bit. as do the fixtures. I think West Ham and Villa are difficult, difficult games. Martinez loves a save, as we've seen over the course of the season. In fact, of all of the double game week goalkeepers, he's the one that's made the most saves over the course of this season. So I do think that there is opportunity in both these games, particularly now West Ham have Creswell back, for Dominic Calvert-Lewin to get a bit frustrated across this one. So he wouldn't be one that I would be absolutely clamouring to get in. However, if I had a problem up top and some spare money to do it, he'd be one I would look at.
But didn't he literally score against West Ham last weekend with James Rodriguez not on the field, Calvert-Lewin?
He did. And, you know, he doesn't always need James Rodriguez there in order to score the goals. I just think the opportunities are better and he gets more of them when James Rodriguez is there. So you may be relying a bit more wrong on individual quality from Calvert-Lewin when he's not there. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't have that, because he absolutely does. He's had a phenomenal season. But I think when you're looking at other players in those positions, the likes of Iheanacho and Watkins and potentially Harry Kane, they still have just got the edge for me over Calvert-Lewin.
I mean, his main strength this season has been headed goals. He's got seven, which is, I think the last player to score more than that in a Premier League season was Roque Santa Cruz a long time ago. But against West Ham, it feels like West Ham set up pretty well to deal with that aerial threat. So I don't know whether he'll have much joy in that game. West Ham themselves were a bit of a, you know, it looked like they were finally fading away, but then maybe not. So, I mean, I've got a lot of West Ham players in my team and I was about to press the magic ditch button, but maybe not.
The magic Zaha button. Just while we're on the subject, West Ham then. What about Jesse Lingard?
Please.
There had been
Please.
What?
Feels like the Lingard high watermark has passed now. But
you think?
Yeah.
I think Jules should sell him and then he'll start performing better for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's true. You got into my head with him. I knew it. And then you convinced me and you went up, but Jules, you're the only one in the country not to have him. What are you doing? He got me 14 points. That's why I got him. He got him 14 points.
Don't mention that number, Jules.
Don't mention that number.
Right. Okay. Interesting. I tell you what, let's move on then from the double game week 35 fixtures and get some answers to this week's simply enormous Twitter question. Going forward, who are your key players for the season finale? This week's question on Twitter with the hashtag FPLpod was, with only four game weeks remaining, who are the key players you're looking for to help you finish the season well? Marcus says Trent, because he's immense. Kelechi, because he can't stop scoring. And Zaha, because he's got to come good soon. All right, Marcus. Wayne says, I'm looking to bring in Salah for the remaining games, just because I'm on top of my mini league with my mates and my two closest rivals have him. All right. Oxy, it's time to sell Iheanacho, says Oxy, for Antonio, Fernandez for Bale, and Diaz for Arnold. Thank me later. Some bold calls there. We'll come back to that. Molina, meanwhile, says Salah for the double game week. I put two question marks next to that because he doesn't have a double fixture. But, you know, Saints is maybe worth two of your other fixtures. I don't know. And Let's Talk Soccer says Aguero. I think Pep will give him the respect and minutes to allow Serge to leave City on a high note. I agree. I think that's probably a very fair shout. Oxy, though, Iheanacho for Antonio, Fernandez for Bale and Diaz for Arnold. Some interesting shouts there. So Diaz, you got the rotation risk, so I get that. Iheanacho for Antonio, I would take some convincing about. And Bruno Fernandez for Bale. Bruno Fernandez scoring a brilliant goal the other day against Roma. Is he showing glimpses of being back, or are we still off him?
Last week ahead of the deadline, I flip-flopped with the Bruno to Bale transfer and honestly got to the confirm screen about nine times. And then that Europa League game on Thursday night happened and Bruno was phenomenal in that match, really back to his best. Plus, has a double game week when Bale doesn't have a double game week, obviously in game week 35. And I thought, I just can't bring myself to take out a player who's going to double, to bring in a player who's not going to double. As it happens with Bruno blanking last week, I probably should have done.
Well,
however, you know, going into this week, we've now got United potentially with two double game weeks coming up because obviously play twice in game week 35. They've got to rearrange this Liverpool fixture at some point. So depending upon where it goes, it could go into 36, which would mean that they don't blank. It could go well, it probably has to, maybe, I don't know. It's very difficult to work out that, where that's going to be. But for me, Bruno Fernandes is a very, very hard player to sell, because we've seen the magic that can come from that man in the Europa League. And I suspect we might see that again in the Premier League before the end of the season. So for me, I'd be really loath to sell Bruno right now.
I got rid of him in my wild card and I don't regret it. There, I said it. I know he's great, but there are only 5 midfield slots available and there's plenty of magic in other people's boots. That's my take.
This is
the,
true.
The only worry is he's played so much this season and he is such a player that gives so much during games. He runs so much and he works so hard and everything, that there will be a point, now that they will make the Europa League final, if maybe towards the end of the season, Ole starts just resting him a little bit, maybe he can play just half an hour, maybe he can come on as a sub, maybe he can just stay home. And you do wonder if at some point they might just have a lighter schedule for him to make sure that he's fully fit and fully full of energy for the Europa League final.
Okay. What about Oxy's other suggestion? And it's possible that Oxy's just trolling everybody who's listening, just trying to get a bigger green tick by telling us to destroy our teams. But that we should sell Iheanacho for Mikel Antonio. Antonio obviously performed brilliantly last game week. So is he now back? Should we be turning your triangle of doom into a quadrilateral of doom?
Square of hope.
Square of hope.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, I would say, why not have both of those players? I mean, it's been the sort of season where the really big money forwards haven't necessarily returned, Harry Kane aside. So why not get the one, you know, three of the triangle of doom into your team?
Why not? Okay, who you're going with up top very shortly when we get onto everyone's transfers and captain's picks. But anyone else that you think in terms of players who are going to be key for you having a strong season finale? Chris Wood, for example.
Chris Wood has got a bit of the Jesse Lingard about him, in the sense that, you know, I didn't get in on his sensational run of form, and now it feels like if I did, I've kind of missed the boat a little bit. Not the boats to Seychelles, that's all booked, but the general boat. So yeah, he's tempting, but possibly not. I mean, I think Brighton's defence is looking pretty strong. Lewis Dunk's been returning a lot of points, so, you know, that's an option, I think.
Very good. Well, after this, let's conclude by hearing about everybody's transfers and who gets to wear the armband. Duncan, what are you actually going to do for the double game week? Are you taking points hits? What's up?
Don't need to take points hits because I've got a little thing called wildcard ready to go. So.
Oh my,
what?
OMG.
You kept that quiet.
Thought I'd drop that in at the end. Yeah, so I can... Yeah, I can take any bit of advice that I deem suitable today.
Right. And what's your team looking like at the moment? I imagine you're already hard at work on it.
Yeah, I mean, Aguero is in there. So, but it's the other striking options, really. So whether I stick with Iheanacho and Watkins, which is, you know, relatively cheap, or try and keep Kane, but then that impacts elsewhere. So, yeah.
Well, who's in your midfield then? Let's hear.
As it stands, Mount, Salah, Sterling, and then Lingard and Suchek. But I need to... I think Suchek and Lingard are...
This is a wild card team, yeah?
No, this is my current team, but
before.
I'm...
Ah, to, no, yeah, I'm telling you, who's in your projected wild card team? Have you not already started formulating one?
The forwards and the defence, yeah, the midfield's a bit of a...
Okay, what about the back there?
You're not going to keep Sterling, are you?
Well, I only brought him in last week because I correctly assumed he would play in the... You know, in the Premier League game, because he's not in the Champions League team, but he didn't do that much. So,
no. Yeah. Well, who's at the back?
Hasn't he scored for 2 months or something?
Something like that, yeah. So at the back, we've got Lewis Dunk, Luke Shaw, and then some gaps. So, yeah, I need to. It's basically a work in progress.
Who have you written down then in the course of the last, you know, sort of 30 minutes or so? Who have you written down?
Well, I think Saka maybe is a good shout. I think I haven't actually written anyone down in the last 30 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, we could tell. We could tell. Don't worry. We could tell.
But The point is, I've got incredible flexibility until 6:30 on Friday. So
yeah,
and actually, I think that is quite a key point, because if you think about it, the outcome of the European games this week, you know, if Chelsea don't make it to the Champions League final, if Arsenal do make it or don't make it to the Europa League final, that is going to have a big impact for the rest of the season. I mean, one player we haven't mentioned, who I think is in my potential incoming class, is Kai Havertz, who seems to be hitting form for Chelsea. And, you know, I can see him racking up a few goals in the last few weeks of the season. So, but it's all, yeah, if teams have got other stuff to play for, then you do have to factor that in.
Okay. So very much a work in progress then for Wednesday and Thursday's European fixtures before the deadline, 6:30 on Friday. Crikey, your wildcard overshadowing the chip you're going to be dropping on this game week, eh, Sam Bonfield? You're doing a bench boost.
Yeah, you see, I was honest at the beginning when we were talking before, and I told everyone that I was going to bench boost. Mr. Alexander's decided to play us all for four during this podcast.
It's drama, isn't it? It's the drama.
But yes, I am bench boosting, finally bench boosting this week. So I currently have 7 players who will double this week. But then the other players that I have with single game weeks have really nice fixtures. For example, I have 3 Liverpool players playing against Southampton. I have Harry Kane playing against Leeds. I also have 2 Brighton players playing against Wolves. So it feels like that there's some good scope there. I have 2 free transfers as well. And it depends really what kind of announcement we get from the Premier League about this Liverpool-Manchester United game. Because going into game week 36, I currently have 5 players who will blank. So I may want to roll one of those transfers to game week 36. But if we suddenly get news that Manchester United won't blank, because that's where they're going to put the Manchester United and Liverpool game, then I'll use both of my free transfers this week. Whatever happens, though, Connor Cody is on the chopping block. He is one that I completely misjudged. I thought Wolves were improving defensively. So when I wildcarded, I brought him in. Plus, he'd been getting some attacking returns as well. But it turns out they are also on the boat to the Seychelles with Wolves and half the Premier League. So Connor Cody needs to go. And I'll be looking probably at either Crystal Palace or Everton. Everton looking more likely because they have nicer fixtures coming out of the double game week 2. Can't quite afford Digne unless I use one of my other transfers to take down somebody else. So probably going to end up going Coleman just for budget purposes.
All right. Jules, what about you? Shame you don't have a wild card to play on your team.
Yeah, big shame. I go Luke Digne, you know, go French or go home, I would say.
Usually they're synonymous, actually, this midweek.
Yeah. And as a romantic, you know me, I like the Aguero narrative of finishing on a high, scoring 4 hat-tricks in the remaining 4 games, you know, and then saying to Pep, you didn't want to keep me, but look all the goals I've just scored. So, yeah, I like that
idea. Even against Chelsea, Jules?
Chelsea would be still partying for their qualification for the Champions League final, so they go like,
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, interesting. Who's going to wear the armband for you, Jules?
Bruno Fernandes, Aston Villa, Leicester. I fancy him getting some points in there. So, yeah, Bruno with the armband.
Okay, Duncan?
I've had Iheanacho as captain for the last 2 weeks, which has worked out all right. So, yeah, I think him again just because 2 games, and he is really good at the moment.
He certainly is. And Sam?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Iheanacho again. I do really fancy Ollie Watkins to have a good game week. So he's another differential that I'm thinking about, but probably going to play it a bit safe and go Iheanacho.
Okay, well, loads of stories out there to keep across, whether it's Man United's rearranged fixture with Liverpool or all the usual fitness and injury news, or indeed which teams have made it through in Europe. You can get all the latest FPL news, though, at fantasy.premierleague.com. And Thursday, we'll have our FPL show on there as well, which will be featuring this week Sam and Lee Bonfield. So more wisdom there. Brilliant. The official FPL podcast will return next week. So make sure you find time to join us then. For now, though, many thanks for tuning in. And thanks to Duncan, to Jules and to Sam for giving us a window into their preparations for a potentially crucial set of fixtures. Lovely to speak to you all. From all of us here, it's goodbye.